I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. For the past 7 years, the Able Foundation has been studying local governments who have consolidated with neighboring jurisdictions to help understand what a consolidated Baltimore regional government might look like, who would be helped, and who would be hurt. They studied three cities that have consolidated with county governments: Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and Indianapolis, Indiana. The report notes that a conversation about expanding the boundaries of Baltimore City took place during the First World War, and that voters weighed in again after World War II. We'll talk about it again today on Midday with Jeff Wachter, one of the authors of the report, and Klaus Philipson, a local architect and urban planner. Plus, Malia Cromer joins us with the results of the latest Goucher poll. That's all coming up on Midday, right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a good weekend. Coming up in a little bit, a conversation about government consolidation. The idea of Baltimore City merging with Baltimore County comes up from time to time. And a new report from the Able Foundation is hoping to put the idea of consolidation back on the front burner. We'll talk about how it's worked in places like Nashville, Louisville, and Indianapolis. But we begin today first with our good friend Malia Cromer of the Sarah T. Hughes Center for Field Politics at Goucher College. Last week, the center released the results of their latest poll, which asked Marylanders about topics ranging from legalizing marijuana to raising the minimum wage, race relations, and the Chesapeake Bay. These are also matters, of course, that are on the minds of lawmakers in Annapolis. So let's see where their constituents stand. Good to see you, Malia.
Thanks for having me.
So you do ask them about ask folks about a number of policy issues. One of them has to do with raising the minimum age for buying cigarettes. This is something the Legislative Black Caucus is very much behind. What'd you find out?
So this is the first time we've ever asked this question on the Goucher poll, and we found that a majority of Marylanders support increasing that smoking age from 18 to 21. And I think it's important to note it's not just sort of smoking cigarettes, it's tobacco products, and I think that also includes Juul, which is the
vaporized, the vaping thing.
Thing that it's, I think, more in vogue with young people these days than just traditional regular cigarettes.
So what does that tell you then? Is that, you know, it's always interests me with these polls. What's kind of, you know, the tipping point for clear, overwhelming support? I mean, 66% told your pollsters that they support raising it from 18 to 21. Is that enough for, you know, this thing to take off in Annapolis?
I'm not sure. And I would say that this is, I think, the first time it's been, this issue has gotten, I think, some serious traction in Annapolis. And it usually takes more than one session of serious traction to really get a bill like this through. It will have, I think it will need sustained sort of strong approval ratings like this for them to muster it to get through committee and actually to a floor vote.
So the minimum age for cigarettes is one question. The other was the minimum wage.
Yes.
There's a bill again in the legislature this year to raise it to $15 statewide. What did folks tell you about that?
So again, around 60, mid 60% of Marylanders support increasing the minimum wage. This is not the first time the Goucher poll has asked about it. We've asked about it several times, and I think we actually asked about it way back when we were raising it to 10-10. So strong, consistent support, particularly among Democrats, not surprising there. This is the first time this legislative session, though, we've had indications from both Speaker Bush and Senate President Miller that they are behind some version of an increased sort of fight for 15. And so the combination of sustained public approval plus the sort of green light from the presiding officers will make it much more likely for it to make it to the floor, maybe to the governor's desk this legislative session.
And the some version thing is quite interesting because there's one school of thought that says, well, maybe we don't make it statewide. We make it, by jurisdiction, and we exempt certain jurisdictions from a $15, you know, mandate for a minimum wage. And at this point, I mean, the governor has never been a fan of raising the minimum wage. And so do we have any sense of, you know, how he would use these numbers and whether it would sway him one way or the other? He's big on polls, the governor.
Certainly. I think the governor certainly is reflective of public opinion. And it's one of the things he considers when deciding on a policy. I think much like a lot of members of the Maryland General Assembly, if it wasn't If these sorts of policy issues weren't popular, right, if raising the smoking age only had a 30% approval rating, you'd see, I think, a much different reaction out of Annapolis. So it's not just the governor. I think it's all lawmakers are sensitive to public opinion. But back to whether the governor will veto it or not, I think that depends on whether there's a veto-proof majority standing in his way. So if they can get the minimum wage through and get it through with enough votes to have a veto-proof majority, I think that will definitely change the calculus of his decision making.
It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is our friend Malia Cromer. She's the director of the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College. We're talking about the results of their latest poll released just last week. So when it comes to legalizing recreational use of marijuana, we've been through the medical use. We've been through the huge, fluster cluck about who gets the licenses to, dispense the marijuana. And that's kind of ongoing. 57%.
Sure.
That's really interesting. That's kind of splitting it right down the middle, isn't it? 57% support legalizing recreational marijuana.
Right. So, and this is something, again, we've asked about several times, several iterations. It was actually, I think, on our second poll, the second Goucher poll that we ever conducted way back in 2013. And it has a pretty sort of consistent, stable support. Young people more supportive than older Marylanders. Democrats more supportive than Republicans. But this is something you see reflected nationwide. Right around 2012, 2013, you started to see nationwide the numbers start to break over a majority of Americans support the legalization of marijuana. And Marylanders track really closely with what we see sort of across the country. And so I don't know if this has the full support from the Democratic leadership, if whether recreational marijuana will make it to an actual vote. I know that they're forming an exploratory committee to sort of study it a little bit further. But I think look for the next couple of years for this to be seriously considered by Maryland, or legalization at least happening in Maryland within the next 5 years.
Because there's a lot of folks who just think, look, this train has left the station nationally, that eventually it's going to be a federal issue that, it's just simply going to be legalized everywhere.
And several of the Democratic candidates who are currently running for president of the United States have indicated that they're supportive of legalization of marijuana. And so I think if there's a change in 2020, you might see legalization come sooner than later.
The General Assembly is considering a bill to ban styrofoam products. Where did that come down in your poll?
So, again, this is another one of these Democratic policy initiatives that Marylanders by and large support. A majority of individuals, I think right around in the low 60s, support banning styrofoam containers. This is a new policy that we've seen sort of pop up in states and localities across the country. I know it's been tried here in Baltimore City and has failed to ban styrofoam containers here. This is the one of the things I, every single poll, a number comes out that I'm just not sure how it's going to go down. I have a good sense from asking questions to Marylanders for 6 years where things will break up. This one, I just wasn't sure. And we'll see. We're going to see what happens with this if it's one of those things that people support but doesn't have the power to actually make it through the General Assembly to a floor vote.
Of course, you talk about it, there's about a 3% or a little bit more than 3% margin of error. 63% support a statewide ban on styrofoam. It's interesting. Who knew that styrofoam was so unpopular?
Well, no, and I think it's a thing about people starting to get familiar. So I was in Harris Teeter the other day, and I was thinking about the styrofoam ban, and I was at the salad bar, and I noticed, I was like, boy, I haven't seen a styrofoam container in a grocery store in quite some time. And every time you even go to a fast food place or a Dunkin' Donuts, they have, I think, moved towards cardboard instead of styrofoam. And I'm wondering if it's also a familiarity thing that people are getting less used to seeing these styrofoam containers unless they're on the ground as in the form of litter, and more used to seeing them, seeing these a cardboard substitute. That might be behind the numbers.
You asked folks about an aid in dying bill,
sure,
end-of-life legislation. How did you phrase that question?
So I made the decision to phrase it just like the bill is written in the Maryland General Assembly. And so the aid in dying legislation has a couple key components. One, that the person has to be mentally competent, that they have to be diagnosed with less than 6 months to live, and they must self-administer the drugs. Now, when we asked about this back in 2015 as well, the exact same question wording. And what we found is right around 63% of Marylanders support the aid in dying legislation. Now, national organizations like Gallup and Pew have tried this issue with a few different question wording. And I will say that when you introduce the words physician-assisted suicide, it pulls down that number just a little bit. Still, a majority of Americans still do support physician-assisted suicide. but it's higher when you describe it without the word suicide. Among Marylanders, my guess is if I would have asked the question using without the description of the policy and just with physician-assisted suicide, it would have probably brought it down a few percentage points, but it would still be a majority of Marylanders support it.
Yeah, I mean, it's 62% in the way you asked it this time.
But this is one of the key things. And if you listen to the testimony and you watch some of the testimony, this is an issue that brings out people on both sides to come down to Annapolis and testify with a lot of intensity. And so the question is whether it can actually get out of that committee. And it, again, back in 2015, there was some really compelling testimony from O.J. Brigance, the former Ravens player, who's suffering
ALS.
From ALS. And a lot of folks from the disability community have been coming and out against this piece of legislation, and not to mention a really strong lobby from the Catholic and other religious communities.
You asked a bunch of questions about racial justice issues in Maryland. What strikes you about your answers?
So there's a couple of things, and this is, I think, one of the joys of running an independent, sort of independently funded poll. I get the opportunity to sort of ask these types of questions on the poll that are outside of the traditional sort of horse race public approval questions. And what we find on this poll is that, you know, Marylanders across racial lines agree that race relations have gotten worse, but Black Marylanders and White Marylanders still view these racial justice and criminal justice issues through dramatically different lenses. And so, if you ask a White Marylander about the fairness of the criminal justice system, they're going to perceive it as more fair than a typical African American Marylander, and that should really come as no surprise to anybody.
Yeah, it's sort of like the other thing you have in the poll, that 83% of Marylanders like Old Bay seasoning, right?
Yes, no. Except for this one's not as pleasant.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, certain things we can just sort of predict almost before we ask it. You asked about state spending on public education. 64% mm-hmm. said we're spending too little. We've got the Kerwin Commission recommendations that are, you know, starting to leak out one at a time, and we don't know all of them, but we certainly know that it's going to be a very expensive price tag. So it's interesting. I wonder if you paired that with a question about will you raise your taxes to pay for education, what you'd hear.
I think we'll certainly, when the Kerwin Commission actually happens, this year got delayed again. If next legislative session, certainly, if they're bringing this to the floor with a price tag associated with it, we'll do some questions sort of further probing that aspect of it. I'll tell you this, just in general, so people are supportive of additional funding for public education, but if you on our previous polls, we've also asked Marylanders how they feel about their tax burdens in the state, and the same sort of majority say the taxes are too high, and at the same time, education is typically one of the top issues in the state. So are economic issues and taxes. So all of these things sort of work together, and it's not, I mean, you can't have everything you want.
Waiter, I'd like my cake, and I'd like to eat it, too. You asked about the Chesapeake Bay.
I did.
What did they tell you?
It's not good, Tom. That's the unfortunate thing.
It's another non-surprising thing. Yeah,
and I think that some of the recent reports, we've had a really rainy year, and the recent Chesapeake Bay report card was not good. And it's reflected here on our numbers, certainly. The overwhelming majority of Marylanders, 86%, say they are somewhat or very concerned with pollution in the Chesapeake Bay. And then when we ask them to rate the overall health of the environment of Maryland, only 36% say good or excellent. Another 62% say poor or fair.
The overall health of Larry Hogan's approval ratings is certainly doing just fine. Governor Hogan is really a popular public figure.
They're completely unchanged. We've been asking about Governor Hogan now since back when he first assumed public office, and it has been a stable sort of mid-60s to high 60s approval rating. He's done well among Democrats, particularly among independents, and he's maintained, despite the fact that he has distanced himself and criticized the president on some occasions, his approval rating among Maryland Republicans is in the 80s.
And there's some, you know, chatter about his challenging President Trump in the 2020 Republican primary. He's done nothing to quell those conversations. And about a third of people here in our state think he should run.
Yeah, but 55% say that he shouldn't. So what's interesting about this number, foremost, is that it really doesn't matter in terms of the way the primary system works, what happens in Maryland in a lot of ways. We're a later primary state. We only have a very few electoral votes. And what's interesting about the third is it this third is a really consistent number. I went back and looked at Cory Booker's numbers in New Jersey and Elizabeth Warren's numbers in Massachusetts, and the same third said that each one of those individuals should run for president in their respective states. So it seems like there is some sort of pattern emerging that people from their own state don't want their sort of person to run for president.
Well, maybe the reason for that is they want them to do their current job on behalf of the people of the state rather than distracting themselves with running for president.
And that's certainly, and listen, I would not be surprised at all that if he did decide to run for president of the United States, you'd see perhaps a little dip in his public approval numbers, especially if people here in Maryland thought that he was not focusing on his job and being too busy to run for president.
Speaking of the president, there was a bit of a Trump bump this year as opposed to about a year ago. Mr. Trump's approval rating up to 30%. It was at 27 12 months ago.
That's, I think, statistically negligible given the margin of error. So he's not really doing any better or any worse. And honestly, the numbers are driven by exactly what you would expect. Maryland Democrats are no different than Democrats are nationwide. They have really almost unanimous disapproval of the job the president's doing. But Maryland Republicans, again, look a lot like Republicans nationwide. And around they have a around 70-ish percent ballpark approve of the way the president is doing. And again, so if Maryland Republicans are like Republicans nationwide, our poll suggests that about 30% of them would like to see Larry Hogan run for president. And if you look at that number sort of nationwide, about a third of Republicans nationwide have indicated that they would like to see a different nominee for the Republican presidential ticket. So all of this stuff, I think, is tracking really close together.
Yes, the question that a lot of polls ask, and it has to do with direction.
Yeah.
The people, you know, did you ask people, do you think that the state of Maryland is going in the right direction? How do you actually phrase that? What does that mean? Do you think that there is consensus among the people you poll, and it's some 800 people or so, that they all agree on what that question actually means?
We ask it in general. Do you think things in the state are headed in the right direction or off on the wrong track? And I think what this really gets at, it means something different perhaps to everybody, but it's a general feeling of the way things are going. I think it's a very generic indicator, but I think that people do have a sense that things are going in the right direction. At least Marylanders believe that in general, the state is sort of going in the right direction. And the reason I'm not surprised to see this is because we also asked Marylanders on our poll about trust in government. And overwhelmingly, Marylanders say, you know what, we trust the state government to do what's in the public's interest at least some or all the time. That is not the same as the federal government. So when we follow it up and say, well, what about the federal government? Do you trust them? None of the time, a little of the time, some or all the time. Exact opposite is true. They don't trust the federal government at all. And so when we think about this kind of question holistically, so you have a governor with a high approval rating. You have a Maryland General Assembly that, while it only has a 40% approval rating, it only has a 30% disapproval rating. So it's above water with Marylanders. And that's because only there's a full quarter of people who can't decide how the General Assembly is doing. You have positive people thinking the economic conditions in the state are positive. They trust the state government to do what's in the public's interest, and they think things are going in the right direction. All these together, I think, paint a pretty good picture of Marylanders' perceptions of their state government, certainly better than they think about the federal government.
That's for sure, and that is interesting. You know, they trust the General Assembly and they don't trust Congress. Yeah, interesting stuff. Malia Cromer, she's the director of the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College. We will post a link to the center's latest poll on our website, wypr.org/midday. Thanks, Malia. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Coming up, a conversation about consolidating local governments. It's been tried in places like Nashville and Indianapolis and Louisville. Should we try it here? Urban planner Klaus Philipson and Jeff Wachter, he's the author of a new ABLE Foundation study, join me after a quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.